Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Daniel Hudson Burnham said, "Make no little plans, they have no magic to stir men's blood." Hi, I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two guests who make no little plans. Our first Playmaker is a former mayor. Our second Playmaker has been referred to as a branding phenom. With us today is the CEO of a company that understands the relationship between exercise and health, while our second Playmaker is the chief vibe officer of a sandwich company. These great Playmakers are Blaine Nelson. Blaine is president and CEO of the Cooper Institute. And Jeff Sinelli. Jeff is CEO of Witch Witch Superior Sandwiches. And we're going to begin today's show with Jeff. Jeff Sinelli serves as founder, CEO, and Chief Vibe Officer of Witch Witch. He has created and grown an iconic brand both domestically and internationally to 300 locations in 10 years and spreading a lot of positive vibes along the way. In 1998, Jeff created Genghis Grill, a Mongolian barbecue restaurant, which he grew to 11 units in 5 states. He sold the concept in 2003 and set to work on filling what he felt was a void in the sandwich arena. Jeff created Witch Witch in 2003, prompting QSR Magazine to refer to him as a branding phenom upon its launch. The company began awarding franchise rights in 2005. By 2013, Witch Witch had expanded throughout the United States and has opened locations in Mexico, Panama, Dubai, and with over 100 more locations in development. Jeff, thank you very much for joining us on Playmakers Talk Show.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Happy to be here.
You have had a lot of interesting experiences in your business, but one I read about that was particularly interesting was about your flight to Atlanta to visit a customer who dislocated his jaw while trying to bite into a double meat wicket. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you can only imagine when we get the email at the office that they found out that a customer had his jaw locked open for, you know, half a day. And when I got it, you know, a lot of things went through my mind. You know, one is the legal ramifications. But more importantly, you know, I wanted to make sure the guy was all right. So, you know, it was almost like a split instant. I said, let's go down and see him. So we hopped on a plane, and I said, if I'm going to go down here, why don't we see if this is kind of a cool story. Let's record it. So I grabbed my video guy, and we got down there. And, you know, we met Chad. We set him up, and we met him at the restaurant. And the first question was, are you okay? And he smiled, and he said, yeah, my jaw's fine, but wow, what an experience.
Well, we were talking prior to the show starting. One of the things I noticed about Jeff, he's constantly doing research and asking questions to improve his brand. But there are a number of people that, surprisingly, that have not been to a Witch Witch location. Tell everybody how it works when they walk in.
Yeah, well, we're a sandwich shop, but we're just not the ordinary sandwich shop. Yet we ask you to do a little bit of work. You take a brown paper bag and you fill out the kind of sandwich you want with a red Sharpie marker, and you just check mark. If you like cheese, you can pick one of our 8 different cheeses. If you like double meat, you just check the box, and then you go into the vegetables. But more importantly, on that brown paper bag, we then ask you for your name, because we want to call you by your name, almost like a Cheers type of scenario, the Cheers, the old TV show. And the bag then acts as the packaging. We put your sandwich back in the bag, and it's totally customized product for you. And I think that's where we really make people happy, giving them exactly what they want.
Well, you've been in the restaurant business for a while, and you've had a lot of different concepts, too. How did the concept of Witch Witch begin? How did that begin? Because it came right after Genghis Grill.
Yeah, I knew I would. After I sold Genghis, I knew I would always be in the restaurant business. And I took a year off, really, to go deep and introspective with myself. And I was looking at the whole array of restaurants, whether it be pizza, burgers, coffee. And I ended up in a sandwich business because I looked at what Fred DeLuca was doing with Subway. I looked at what was happening with Jimmy John's. The founders tend to stay in this business. And I knew my next business, I wanted to start something that I could actually finish with a lifelong journey. So you look at Subway and Jimmy John's, their founders are there. I'm 10 years into my journey here, and I really credit my mom. She gave me the idea. She would write my name on my lunch bag when I would go to school. And she'd write turkey and cookie, love mom. And, you know, that was really the genesis of why I got into the business.
Well, you're speaking about when you were a kid and your mother put your name on your sandwich bag. But it goes back even farther, too, to your grandmother, too. There's a part there about the sauce she made and the way it made you feel. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my grandmother, you know, she was a Polish immigrant, and she really taught me about hospitality. I would go into her kitchen, and, you know, there was just a sense of love. And every time we left the house, you know, we had to open the trunk because she would give us almost everything in her house. It was just a real giving, gifting type of environment, you know, filled with love. And that's what hospitality is about. It's about how you feel when you go into that environment. And, you know, my wish is that when you go into a Witch or any restaurant, that you experience that, because you can get food anywhere. But how someone feels, and if you can make them feel good. And as chief vibe officer, I want to give you that energy through the food and through our environment to make that experience worthwhile.
Well, you mentioned that again, and I mentioned that as I introduced you. You are the chief vibe officer for Witch, and I believe I was reading Dallas Business Journal that you wear nothing but Witch vibe clothes all the time. Are there specific clothes that you wear with the logo on it?
Yeah, you know, when we started Witch, we didn't have big budgets. So I'm a believer that, and I'm a brand guy, I believe you have to wear your brand. Because by putting on a logo, now we have something to talk about. Because you may see me at the Home Depot, and the next thing you know, we're striking up a conversation about Witch. If I'm just wearing a regular T-shirt from the Gap, we have no strike point, nothing to really spark up a conversation. So our whole company wears the brand. And it's an unwritten rule that you show up in the office wearing the Witch clothing. And I can tell, you know, if somebody's not engaged in the brand by what they're wearing. So it's a real barometer to how engaged you are with our product.
Well, customers can get involved in this, too. There's a Vibe Club where you stay in touch with them, email sent out. Now, those are specific. Sometimes there's specials, and sometimes there's just information. And one of the things, I think about this because of something you mentioned earlier about one of your products, a vegetable that you would like to free, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, so it leads into, you know, we want to be healthier. We want to be better people. And I became a vegan 4 months ago. You know, I was a struggling vegetarian, and I found veganism, and I can tell you, I honestly feel better. But there's one vegetable that we have. It's called the avocado. And I think you're going to see some unique things in Witch in the months to come, such as a campaign as Free the Avocado. I don't want to really spill the beans here, but, you know, it's in my heart, I feel that we should give that as a complimentary item versus charging for it. And every restaurant in the world charges for it, and I think we can be different, because if you're building a sandwich and it's that one thing that we charge for, that's a vegetable or a fruit, however you define it, I think there's room to give it away and be special in the restaurant industry.
And being a practicing vegan myself, in most cases, you can keep that going if you get a sandwich at Witch. There was a quote that I read in the Dallas Business Journal from Wayne Gretzky that you said you liked, which is, "I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it's been." How do you apply that to Witch?
Well, just like we're talking about, you know, vegetarianism, our menu, our sales represent 20% of all sandwiches sold are vegetarian. And it's rising as you see concepts popping up around the country, Veggie Grill out in California, Cafe Gratitude. There's a lot of plant-based things going on. You see the explosion of Whole Foods. People are conscious about what they're putting in their bodies, and Witch is you know, very conscious about that too. So we're looking to, you know, more healthier choices, you know, exploiting the avocado and also adding to the vegan vegetarian options. And I think we can go from 20% to 25% of our mix and make people feel healthier and actually give them healthier foods.
We're talking to Jeff Sinelli. Jeff is the founder and chief vibe officer for Witch, which is a rather unique sandwich shop, and they have superior sandwiches. We're going to talk about some of those when we come back. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Don't go away. More about the specifics on Witch when we come back right after this.
The fact is, you can't make spring hurry up and get here, but you can make sure you're good and ready for it. Get $1,000 off RSX850i Gator utility vehicles and $500 off one family tractors with a purchase of two John Deere or Frontier brand implements. Most offers end February 3rd. Stop by your John Deere dealer for details.
Visit one of Ag Power's 12 locations throughout Texas and Arkansas. Find the location nearest you at ag-power.com or myjohndeeredealer.com.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
This is Tom Caulfield.
And Sean Manning of the Trader's Path Radio Show, sponsored by the Online Trading Academy of Dallas.
We invite you to listen to our show this Saturday from 5 to 6 on 570 KLIF.
Where you will learn key strategies to put money in your pocket the very next week, regardless of market direction.
Here's Steve Klein, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, with another excerpt from his book.
A number of years ago, I realized I enjoyed playing more than I enjoyed working. But I also realized that playing wouldn't pay the bills or the play. So I decided to take the best parts of playing and add them to the work mix of tracking to at least make working fun. All sports involve numbers and scores, so I developed a tool to make sure that I was having fun with my work and I was tracking my activity to give me the results I wanted. This was my game plan and my secret weapon towards sales success. I realized if I could measure it, I could manage it. I began to keep track of my daily activities and reward myself. The result was the correct, consistent daily activity checklist, or CCDA. Many salespeople generally have no idea how to develop their scorekeeping or to develop a daily plan to organize their sales activity. To help them do this, use the CCDA checklist.
To get more information about Steve's book or to order Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, go to pdcchange.com. That's pdcchange.com. Right now.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are talking about Superior Sandwiches, which with Jeff Sinelli. He is the founder and chief vibe officer. And if you'd like to check their website, you can go to whichwich.com. And I better spell that for you if you're not familiar with it. W-H-I-C-H-W-I-C-H. And there's a lot of play on words with which. There's also a sandwich fatic. Faction guarantee, and that also goes into, if you go to their website, you'll see something called their open house tour, which gets into franchise. So, Jeff, tell us about what you're doing in the franchise area for which.
Yeah, we're a franchise-based model, which means we offer the opportunity for people to get involved with our company. And the open houses, we're traveling around the country and world, just almost like a roadshow, like a band would do a concert, and I'm doing probably 50% of those shows, and we're showing people what which is all about, seeing if we can find partners out there to help grow our business and their business as well.
So I'm looking at your website right now, and I see that, and you're right, it is set up looking like a tour. Do you invite people to that and to show up and do your version of the which concert?
Yeah, we do. You know, music's important to us, so there's a music element. Just go to our website, and you'll see the tour dates. We've got concert T-shirts. We've got, you're going to get filled with sandwiches. You know, as we go, like, into Philadelphia, we're going to, play some Philadelphia songs as we have a new Philly cheesesteak that we're sharing with the world as well.
Well, I'm looking at your website. You have a number of different bags. As a matter of fact, I'm clicking right now on your open house tour, and it shows all the different locations. But you have a number of different bags. You have bags 1 through 10. And tell us how that works. You mentioned a little bit about it when you come in with a red felt marker, you fill out the bag. But tell us the different types of sandwiches you do have.
Yeah, so there's 10 bags plus a signature bag called the Wicked. And you grab one of the bags, and they're based basically on big categories like turkey, beef, chicken, Italian, classic sandwiches. And it really helps you funnel your decision for what you might want to eat that day. You know, a quarter of our customers choose turkey. It's the biggest selling sandwich in the world. But, the bags are special, and we just launched a new Bag 8. The bags are numbered. And Bag 8 is about R&D, research and development. And we're building classic sandwiches in the sense that when you go to Philadelphia and get a cheesesteak, you're eating that cheesesteak on a roll that's made in Philadelphia. The company Amoroso is the number one roll company. We brought in the meat from Philadelphia. So now when you go into Which, you can actually have the same experience that you have in Philadelphia. And we've had customers come and tell us that you've nailed it, or it's like high five, dead on, that sandwich is authentic. And, you know, we really take pride in that our next one is a shrimp po' boy. You know, we're using a battered shrimp, and we partnered up with Zapp's potato chips, Tabasco, and we're even doing Bark's root beer that is made in New Orleans. So these sandwiches are authentic, and it gets into the romance of the sandwich. You know, I'm getting a little crazy on you guys, but it's like, this is real. You know, we wanted to bring back these local experiences that can be held all over the country and make sure it's real and authentic. That's important to us, you know, from a core value standpoint.
Well, when you're looking at Philadelphia and the Philly cheesesteak and New Orleans, anything tied in with that, there's those internal memories. There's the feeling that the taste provides. And as you mentioned, by having that authentic taste, I now can go back to New Orleans. I can now go back to Philly and experience what I'm used to doing. Let's talk about that research for a moment. How long does it take to do the research once you understand what kind of sandwich you want to do? What goes into putting all that together?
You know, it's we go deep. You know, I've often there's case studies within our own company that, for instance, my wife and I were down in Argentina researching beef and hamburgers and taste profiles. And we were working on a sandwich, and my wife pointed out, and she said, "Jeff, that's your 18th sandwich today." And it was only 12:30 in the afternoon. And she said, "Your research is over." So we go deep. We travel around the world. We work with vendor partners and other companies. We listen to our customers, and it's not something that happens instantly. It's an evolution. When you strike gold, you know it. And with Bag 8, we really struck gold with our customers.
Well, my guess is when you travel, and you said you do that a lot, and we were talking earlier, you are obviously going to a lot of different types of restaurants and partaking in their food just to see what's out there. That's your research is going on all the time, at least in your head, looking for new ideas.
Never stops.
Well, one thing that I was interested in was a charitable endeavor that you have launched, and you did that a few months ago in October 2013, which is Project PB&J. Tell us what that project is and why you're doing it.
Yeah, it's a real special project, specifically to myself and my family and our company. Throughout the 10 years of Which, we've given to thousands of charities. And a lot of times when you work with a charity, there's a little bit of an empty feeling. You give money and you just don't know where the money goes. So my wife and I were at the Conscious Capitalism Summit out in San Francisco last year, and we realized that, hey, we've got to do something different, something real and meaningful for not only us but for our franchisees and our communities. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was talking to Kip Tyndall from the Container Store, and Kip looked at my business card and said on my card, "I want to make the world a better place," which I really do, and a lot of companies do. But Kip said to me, just point blank, "Jeff, how are you going to do that?" And I said subconsciously to him, I said, "Kip, I'm going to get trucks, and I'm going to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches when I get back to Dallas, and I'm going to give them to the homeless and people in need." And he just looked at me, and he said, "Jeff," he gave me a high five, and he's like, "It's really cool." And that was the spark of it, and I realized that now I had a duty. You know, I said something out to the world. I told it to Kip, and now I have a duty to go out there and what we're calling spread the love. And we're in test right now, and this year we're going to roll out Project PB&J. Where to Which, when you buy a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you get one to take with you, but it gets played forward in two different ways, almost like Tom's shoes. When you buy a pair of Tom's shoes, you get the shoes, but one also is gifted in the world. At Which, with that PB&J, you get one at the store. One's going to stay in the community, and another one's going to go to our global fund. So as now our partners in our cities, our 300 stores, are now going to be able to activate and get involved in the communities and do something good with these peanut butter and jellies. And now, heaven forbid, if something were to happen with a tragic event like a hurricane or a fire or some kind of disaster, we can mobilize and bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches almost instantly to the places in need, and just set up, because all we need is three ingredients: peanut butter, jelly, and bread. But I think there's one more ingredient that goes into the sandwich, and it's a special ingredient. It's called love. And that's what the project's really all about. And I'm getting a little teared up thinking about it. But, you know, we want to spread the love. And I think we can do great things with this, especially at 300 stores. You know, I estimate we can do over 1 million peanut butter and jelly sandwiches next year. And those million could probably be levered up with our partners, and we can really spread a lot of love to people in need with this project.
Well, I like the idea because it fits in so well with your model. You have, it's a sandwich. It's easy to make. There's not a lot of ingredients. You can, for the amount that you're setting aside for this, you can make a tremendous amount of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We're talking about being vegan. I mean, one way to get your protein is to do it through peanut butter. It's a great way to do that, too. They're healthy and they're nutritious, and you're helping people that are in need. You know, if you just went through a major tragedy, you don't think about food, and all of a sudden you're hungry, and you need to have those right there. That's an excellent idea. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a real comforting sandwich. It's my favorite sandwich. I tend to add a little jalapenos to spice it up personally, but we're excited about the project and we can't wait to get it out there. We've had a lot of partners come to us in the music industry that want to be a part of this, and everyone that we give it to, it's different with this project. A lot of people, when I tell them about it, they're like, how can I help this project? And when you have people out there that want to give to it and want to give their time and how they can help, you know you're on to something, because I think there's two types of people in the world. There's givers and takers, and I want to surround myself with the givers.
Well, you want to give back, too. You have a tremendous amount of assets, and you want to give back, too. And that website is Project PBJ, as in peanut butter and jelly, projectpbj.org. In the last minute or so, since you've had a lot of success, you've been in the restaurant business, you've had a lot of successful ventures, you've probably had a few setbacks too. We have a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners who are listening. What would you say is the secret to success? What is it that someone needs to do to have success in this world today?
Yeah, you know, it's been an entrepreneur all my life from my first lemonade stand. And what I'm learning right now at the age of 45 is that you've got to take care of the people around you. You really do. You can't do it by yourself. And the number one thing you can do is take care of your employees, your teams. And then you have to take care of your guest. And, you know, it's kind of backwards by putting your employees before your guest, because it just seems not logical or not intuitive. But if you take care of your employees, they're going to take care of the guest. And it works in a cycle. And then you have to really activate in your communities. Those three things are important. It's really called a stakeholder model, where everyone's going to win. And before, it used to be a zero-sum game where one person would win and some people would lose. Now, I believe the world, everybody has to win. And if you do that, everyone's happy. You can spread positive energy and there's no losers. And I think that's really one of the secrets to success, is that everyone has to play a small role in it. At which we call it our stakeholder model, our vision of eight. We have identified eight different stakeholders, and they all win in our business model.
Jeff, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. I mean, this is great. I'm smiling through the microphone.
Yes, you is. Great big smile on Jeff's face. Justinelli is founder and chief vibe officer of Which. You can go to their website, which is whichwich.com. Stay with us. We have more. We are going to speak with the president and CEO of the Cooper Institute. Cooper Aerobic Center is part of that. Blaine Nelson, he's going to be with us. So stay tuned. Right after this, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-8228. That's 1-800-644-8228.
It's a new year and a new midday lineup on KLIF. Hi, this is Laura Ingram.
I'm Dennis Miller. Laura and I are back-to-back from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. on News and Information 570 KLIF.
We follow what's important and what's relevant every day. I start at 9.
And I'm right after Laura at noon until 3 p.m.
We're on top of what's important to you.
That's Laura Ingram at 9.
Dennis Miller at noon.
On News and Information 570.
KLIF.
Life support has been removed from Marlies Munoz. She's the brain-dead woman carrying a severely deformed fetus who is being kept alive by a Fort Worth, Texas hospital over the wishes of her husband because of Texas law. A judge had to rule that her husband had the right to end life support. The hospital released Munoz's body to her husband. Howard County, Maryland Police Chief Bill McMahon is naming the gunman in Saturday's deadly shopping mall shooting rampage.
I'm going to identify our shooter as Darion, D-A-R-I-O-N, Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, Aguilar, A-G-U-I-L-A-R. He's 19 years old.
Who shot and killed two people before killing himself. He had no criminal record, but little else is known about him. Federal public health officials have boarded the Royal Caribbean Explorer of the Seas cruise ship, now docked in the U.S. Virgin Islands. At least 300 people sickened with gastrointestinal symptoms. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
If you're like me, you love animals. We adopted our rescue dog, Annie, and she's brought a lot of joy to our lives. My friends at Operation Kindness do some pretty amazing work uniting homeless dogs and cats with families throughout North Texas. As a nonprofit no-kill animal shelter, Operation Kindness needs our help. You can adopt or foster an animal or donate your time or money to the shelter. Take a moment and visit operationkindness.org or call 972-418-7297. Together, we can help save animal lives.
KLIF News and Information in the Morning
with Dave Williams and Amy Shadra.
Monday morning at 7:46, we'll talk with one of the bravest men in the world, Johnny Quinn. He's an American Olympic bobsledder.
And Jason Nathanson will join us from ABC News in Hollywood to talk about the Grammy Award winners.
Traffic, weather, all the news and some things to think about Monday morning on KLIF.
News and Information in the Morning, 6 till 9.
News and Information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2.
KLIF.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
KLIF News and Information, still at 570 AM and also at 96.3 FM HD2.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with Blaine Nelson. Blaine is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Cooper Institute. Before joining the Cooper Institute team last year, Blaine Nelson was Office Managing Partner of Deloitte's North Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas practices, headquartered here in Dallas. Under his leadership, the firm grew from fewer than 1,000 employees to more than 1,600 in the three states. Blaine has served as the mayor of Fruit Heights City in Utah. He's also brought his community service to Dallas as chairman of the Board of Governors for the Dallas Symphony Association, as a member of the Board of Directors of the United Way Foundation of Metropolitan Dallas, the Dallas Regional Chamber, and the Dallas Arboretum. Now, he works with the Cooper Institute. It was established by Dr. Kenneth Cooper in 1970. The Cooper Institute conducts groundbreaking research on the relationship between exercise and health benefits. Blaine, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Glad to have you here. Question I want to ask you, because I didn't talk a lot about this in the introduction, but we'll talk about it now. How does a Southern Idaho farm boy end up running the Cooper Institute here in Dallas?
It's a great question, and I'm not sure I really know the answer other than the fact that it's been a long journey, and the journey involved me taking advantage of every opportunity that came my way.
And here you are. Well, we'll talk a little bit about your background first, and we're talking about the Cooper Institute. you were the mayor for a short time of Fruit Heights City in Utah, and I read in the Dallas Business Journal that that was one of the worst decisions you had made. Tell us about that decision to be mayor.
Well, I sort of got drafted into the role, and I really didn't think I would end up mayor when I agreed to say that I would participate in the process, but I ended up mayor, and it was a challenging role for a lot of reasons. The city had a lot of needs that had been delayed because nobody had the political courage to take them on. Since I had no political aspirations for the future, I took all those issues on and made the city a better place to live. I learned a lot about people, learned a lot about how our government works. I look back on the experience in a very positive way, but I think that politics are for other people.
You were talking before we started about your actual income you received from being mayor, but also your political party. Tell us about the political parties in your city.
The city had two political parties, the Pinecone Party and the Sagebrush Party, and I represented the Pinecone Party. Not that that means anything, because I think the platforms of both parties were not distinguishable, but from one another. But it did provide in a small town, small city, the reality of always being guaranteed at least two candidates for every position.
Well, you're mentioning about how little you made as mayor. I think you mentioned
$750. $750 a year, and in fact, I was probably out of pocket twice that. Just in a lot of personal expenses I incurred being mayor, so it cost me money to be mayor.
Well, being a mayor is, for all intents and purposes, giving back to your city, to the town you're living in. You've also given back, too, as I read in your bio, as being a member of the Board of Governors, the Dallas Symphony Association, et cetera. Was that something in the back of your mind as you were moving up in your business career that you wanted to give back to organizations?
Well, yes, I believe that I believe that the things that we do. In fact, there's an ad on television. Now, I forget who the sponsor is. And I probably don't want to recognize them here since they probably haven't paid you a fee. But they've stolen a quote from me, and I've said this many times, that a lot of the pursuits we're involved in, whether it be medicine, whether it be business, whatever pursuit we're involved in, most of those pursuits are valuable in the sense that they sustain life. But there are other things that we can be involved in that ultimately make life worth sustaining. And I happen to have a personal passion for the arts, and in particular music, and a number of other things that are opportunities where we all have an opportunity to give back to our community, make this world a better place, and ultimately make this life worth living.
And you're giving back. Well, you're at the Cooper Institute now, and the Cooper Aerobic Center, guessing is known worldwide because people come from all over the world to come there. But tell us what the Cooper Institute does.
Well, the Cooper Institute, interestingly enough, was organized before the Cooper Clinic. It was the first entity or corporate entity formed. It was formed in roughly June of 1970. The Cooper Clinic was formed about 6 months later in December of 1970. The Cooper Institute was formed and organized for the purpose of being a repository for health-related data taken from the patients of the Cooper Clinic. And that data would be used for research and then ultimately for education. And as a result of that, in the last 43 years, we have developed the largest database of its kind in the world. We have, it's a longitudinal database, meaning it's data taken from patients over a period of years, because a lot of these patients will come back every year for their annual physical exam. And so we have data from patients over in some cases, 20, 30, 40 years.
The same patient.
Same patient. And we can track their health and how their health is related to a lot of other factors over that period of time. So we have 112,000 patients over 43 years. And on each physical exam they perform at the Cooper Clinic, we draw more than 3,000 points of data. So you can imagine the amount of health-related data that we can track. This database is the envy of every researcher and scientist in the country that wants to research certain health-related effects, and particularly how fitness and physical activity plays into those health issues.
Yeah, exercise and health has always been a major part of my life since I'm hypothyroid. My thyroid is very slow. I need to exercise all the time. Matter of fact, I walk around.
We all do.
I walk around with a pedometer in my pocket. I'm always looking at how much I'm. I figure if I'm walking through the day, I'll credit my part of my exercise to that. If a person would wanted to come to the Cooper Clinic, how long does that take? Is it a full day affair? And what do they go through to get the exam to find out where they are and how they are?
Well, the Cooper Clinic really, I like to believe, and I really do believe, that it is the center of the universe when it comes to preventative medicine. It is the best preventative medicine exam, I believe, in this world today. The whole focus is on preventative medicine. So you go through a battery of tests, ultimately to predict any health risks or to identify any health risks or health issues that you have. So that's another important aspect of the database we have is that's data all drawn essentially from healthy people. People who have not come to see the doctor because they have a health problem have come to see the doctor from a preventative measure. And the interesting thing about preventative medicine is that at the end of the day, there's nothing to celebrate. Because if you suddenly got heart disease and they do a triple bypass on you, or they put a stent in your heart, or they take some other intervention, you can hold a party with all your friends later because you lived. But by the way, the statistic is 50%, for 50% of the people, their first symptom of heart disease is death.
Hmm.
So if you're in the lucky 50%, you have something to celebrate after. If you catch cancer, if you come down with cancer, and you go through the process of battling that and you cure cancer, or you cure some other disease or problem you have, you always have something to celebrate. With preventative medicine, at the end of the day, there's nothing to celebrate, but that is a good thing.
That's the cherry on top of that sundae, so to speak, though that's not what you want to be doing. But it's all about health, and it's all about staying fit. And it's amazing the people I talk to on the daily basis that don't do it because they have no time to do that. And one of the words I saw in one of the write-ups was being Cooperized. What does that mean to you? What is it like being Cooperized?
Well, being Cooperized is taking steps, making choices in your life that will ultimately impact your life in a very healthy way. At the end of the day, the most valuable thing that any one of us possess is our life, and the health that we enjoy is a huge factor in the quality of that life. And so at the Cooper Institute and at the Cooper Clinic, it's all about helping people live longer, live healthier, and live a higher quality of life. When it comes to physical activity, a person really, when they say they don't have time to do that, somebody once said, is it that you don't have an hour to spend, or is it that you just don't want to live the extra years? Because it does improve the quality of life. There's another interesting fact. There's all sorts of science that is absolutely dead on. We know that exercise improves your health. We know that for a fact. It's been scientifically proven. We can prove right down to some very specific aspects of the plaque in your heart or other health issues where exercise and physical activity improve health. A lot of people exercise just to lose weight. They exercise out of vanity to look better. But the real benefit of exercising is to improving health. The question is, why does exercise improve health? And we don't know the answer to that. If we knew the answer to that, we'd figure out how to make a pill so you could take a pill and you wouldn't have to exercise. But the reality is exercise improves health. The chemistry in the body that occurs when you physically exercise, we don't know why it does what it does, but you will live a longer, healthier life. Even if you may avoid certain diseases, but even if you come down with certain diseases, you will have a better chance of surviving them.
I exercise all the time. I hate exercising all the time. But the feeling of euphoria and just the feeling you get after you've put in a good exercise is worth all that negative going into it, not wanting to do it. And I think that's a big part of why people do it, is that what is the endorphins or that drug you get as a result of exercising.
A lot of people talk about the endorphins. I think it's more than that. I think it's some factors we don't fully understand that bear further research. But if you talk to people that have been exercising a year or two and you ask them why they exercise, invariably they will say they exercise because they're trying to lose weight. They're trying to fit into their clothing. They're trying to look good. If you ask people that have been exercising consistently over a 5 or 6 year period of time or longer why they exercise, the answer is always, it makes me feel better.
We will end this segment on that. We're speaking with Blaine Nelson. He is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Cooper Institute. We're going to talk more about exercise and why that is good for you. Stay with us. There's more to Playmakers Talk Show right after this.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Paid for by Sansbury & Associates Investment Research.
Hey, Dan, did you hear Obama took a pay cut?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he took a 5% pay cut because that's what other government workers were losing due to the recent sequester.
Well, you know that's peanuts for him, right? I mean, he gets paid a pretty hefty salary as president, but did you know that he also makes an additional $72,000 on average per month on the side?
Wait, President Obama collects money from something other than his job?
Crazy, right?
Where's all this extra cash coming from?
Well, last week I came across a website called secretincome14.com, which explained exactly where the money comes from. But the cool thing is, it also shows how guys like you and me can rake in thousands of dollars every month by taking advantage of essentially the same income secret Obama uses.
You mean there's a way I can do this for myself? Come on, that sounds too good to be true.
If you don't believe me, go to secretincome14.com and check out the story. It's totally free and you don't have to sign up for anything.
What's that website again?
It's www.secretincome14.com.
Here's Steve Klein, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, with another excerpt from his book.
Most salespeople have CDA, consistent daily activity, but it isn't necessarily correct daily activity. No matter what we do for a living, we all eventually get into a groove, but that groove isn't necessarily planned. We begin to get off track by letting things we have no control over get in our way. We're no longer in control of ourselves. Everything and everyone else is now controlling us. Don't let this continue to happen to you. Take your life back. Your first step toward getting back on track is to determine what results you want. These results will control your behavior, which in turn affects your attitude, which allows outside information to impact you. If you first decide what results you want in your life, or at least through next year, then you can control what information affects your attitude and behavior to get the results you've been focused on. Information in will control your attitudes, which controls your behavior and gives you your results.
To get more information about Steve's book or to order Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, go to pdcchange.com. That's pdcchange.com right now.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I am Steve Klein. We are speaking with Blaine Nelson. Blaine is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Cooper Institute, and you can check the website out at cooperinstitute.org. There's a number of areas there that you can check out. It's a good way to get involved with, at least understand nutrition and exercise. But there is a number of there. We talked a little bit about the research and the database that the Cooper Institute has. Tell us about some of the education you provide, both for youth and for adults.
Well, we have the FitnessGram tool. It's an assessment tool. It is the assessment tool recommended by the President's Council on Youth Fitness. It has been is being used currently by roughly 35,000 schools in the U.S., so more than 22 million students annually. Receive their fitness assessments. The assessments go into body. We calculate body mass index on each child. They go through a little battery of you know, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, things like that to see how many they can do. And based on all of that, the tool will essentially calculate whether they are fit or not fit. So we don't give them a report card where it's an A, B, C, or D. It's kind of you're either fit or you're not fit. And if you're not fit, here are some of the things you need to be doing in your life. And the report card goes to their teacher, goes to their school principal, goes to the student, and to their parents so that they can address any of fitness issue. Childhood obesity is an enormous issue in our country today. Three in eight children are either significantly overweight or are obese in our country today. We just signed a contract to provide fitness gram in the country of Hungary. And that was a fulfillment of a campaign promise by the president of Hungary to address childhood obesity, because in Hungary, youth in the ages of 13 to 14, one in four were obese, were considered overweight or obese. So they're addressing this problem earlier in the stage in some ways than we are as a country. I even had a conversation with a high-ranking military official recently where he said this is starting to cause concern for a national security, because 70 to 75% of the eligible young men and women that can serve in the military today are excluded either because of some criminal activity they may have experienced in their youth or because they're just simply unfit and cannot get fit to serve in the military.
I grew up 100 years ago and went to school, and remember in grammar school, we had recess or some kind of physical fitness twice a day. And we were doing something either in the gym or outside if the weather was nice. And I was absolutely shocked when my son went to school and it was voluntary or none at all. There just wasn't much physical activity with the kids, and hopefully we're coming full circle with this.
Well, this whole issue of recess and the whole issue of taking physical education out of the schools is a huge issue, I think, of national public policy. It's a health issue because it's been said, and I hope this isn't true, but it's been said that we may be raising the first generation that will not outlive their parents because of this, the obesity and because of the lack of physical activity, the increase in sedentary behavior. There's an interesting, when you talk about the amount of exercise, though, and the amount of physical activity, there is some interesting data, and this is data that every person out there should come to understand. We all think when you're physically fit, you need to be a marathon runner. And clearly, marathon runners are very physically fit people. But the data that we have shows that the health benefits of being physically fit enough to run a marathon are de minimisly better than the level of physical fitness that one achieves by being able to walk at a brisk pace 2 miles a day, 4 days a week. So if you can walk 2 miles a day at a 15-minute mile pace and do that 4 days a week, you will receive or achieve virtually all of the health benefits that you would receive if you were fit enough to run a marathon.
Everything I'm reading lately has been saying you don't have to put a tremendous amount of time into it. It could be chunks of time, just enough to get your heart rate up so you do what you have to do to remain physically fit. I listened to a commercial sometime, and I don't remember who the sponsor was either, but setting something to the effect that there's a certain number of heartbeats we have, and by slowing down our hearts, we'll be able to live longer because we're slowing down our heart rate.
Well, you know, heart.
Whether that's true or not.
Heart disease risk is an interesting issue. It's the biggest killer of men and women on the planet. The number one cause of death is heart disease, and yet we have data to show that if you manage six or seven factors in your life, you can basically eliminate that risk. We're all going to die of something, but you won't die of heart disease if you take into account six or seven factors. Number one, if you're smoking cigarettes, quit smoking. Don't use tobacco of any kind. Manage your blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, first of all, exercise will help to reduce that. But second of all, they make good beta blockers and good medicines today that can help you manage your blood pressure. If you have high cholesterol, take a statin drug. Obviously, see your doctor on all these things. Clearly, increased physical activity. You should eliminate stress in your life. And that's easy to say. I always tell people you should eliminate stress in your life, and they look at me like I've got two heads. How do you do that? The answer is simple. Write down on a piece of paper all the things that are causing stress in your life and figure out if there's one or two you can eliminate. You're never going to eliminate all the stress, but you can reduce the stress in your life. Reduce the amount of alcohol that you take. In fact, zero is best. But if you need alcohol in your life, and if you drink socially a little bit, reduce the amount you take. You shouldn't have more than 3 or 4 or 5 drinks a week. And then lastly, eat fruits and vegetables just a little more often.
There's not a lot on there that you really have to worry about.
If you do all of those things, you will essentially eliminate heart disease as a health risk in your life.
One of the things I've always heard is to look for ways to exercise on a daily basis. Park a little farther away, take the stairs rather than elevators. You can do that. But I think a big part of what you're talking about is it needs to be important to us, and we need to focus on that. And I think that's what the Cooper Institute is doing around, getting us focused on what we need to do.
Yes, education. We do some pretty fancy research. I'm surrounded by brilliant doctors and PhDs in health and education that use this extensive database that we have to perform very valuable research that will ultimately play a part in the public policy around health, which, you know, has been a big issue with the Affordable Care Act and all the discussion all the conversation in our country these days regarding health. This data drives decisions, and this data is going to be valuable to us as we develop public policy. But we're all about education too, because interestingly enough, when Dr. Cooper came out with his theories on physical activity in 1968, fewer than 100,000 people were jogging. By 1990, more than 30 million people were jogging. And the interesting correlation was there was a 48% reduction in heart disease in our country.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you very much, Blaine, for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. I'm Steve Klein, Playmakers Talk Show. Check us out again next week.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
The fact is, you can't make spring hurry up and get here, but you can make sure you're good and ready for it. Get $1,000 off RSX850i Gator utility vehicles and $500 off one family tractors with a purchase of 2 John Deere or Frontier brand implements. Most offers end February 3rd. Stop by your John Deere dealer for details.
Visit Lawson Implement in Hamilton or Goldthwaite today. Find us online at lawson-implement.com or myjohndeeredealer.com.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
Laura Ingram, mornings at 9, KLIF.
KLIF, Dallas. KSES, FM HD2, Fort Worth. KLIF.com.
A Cumulus station.